From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 192 with guest Joel Olson, recorded Thursday, December 9th, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. It's Richard Campbell. With me, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hey, Richard. What's going on?
Not too much, man. Time for a little run as.
Once again, going to talk about some pretty cool stuff here today. Wave of the future type stuff, right?
Yeah, I like it. Looking forward. I've got Joel Olson on the line. Joel is, we already know and have talked to before, yep. Senior product architect and SharePoint evangelist at Quest Software. And of course, before that, he was with Microsoft. I think we interviewed you in both roles. You were a SharePoint guy at Microsoft, SharePoint guy at Quest. But we're not talking about SharePoint today?
Yeah, we're talking about Office 365.
And SharePoint's in there, right?
That's right. Yep, SharePoint Online in the cloud.
Along with a bunch of other stuff, yeah.
With a bunch of other cool stuff.
Yeah. So this is another cloud offering without the Azure tag on it, which is okay by me. What do we got in Office 365? What's the thinking here?
Yeah. So let me start with what it includes. Essentially, you've got Office Pro Plus. So it's Office 2010 Pro Plus. Mm-hmm. There's Exchange Online. There's SharePoint Online. And there's Link Online.
And that's Link, L-Y-N-C.
That's right.
Which is OCS in disguise?
Yeah. In fact, it's a bunch of UC features as well. You're going to find things like live meeting type functionality of let's meet now. You'll find additional functionality of like presence. It gives you your presence in SharePoint and Exchange and Outlook and so on.
So all of these products already have a web interface except for Office.
Yeah, well, even in SharePoint 2010, we get the Office web apps.
Right.
Yep, yeah.
So is this just essentially Office web apps managed by Microsoft?
The way to look at it, I think, is a lot of this thing is just different SKUs, meaning different licensing.
Okay.
So you're going to find some subscription-based licensing for Office the client, which is kind of cool for small businesses. Or even families, you know, I think we'll see even more some of that positioning where it's like, hey, we want to have 5 users and we want to share some data between ourselves. Well, small business, family, whoever, you know, kiosk, you know, there's. So what I'm saying is through some of those SKUs, what you'll find is some of the small business or those who are more of a kiosk user where it's going to be Office web applications. And as you move up the stack, you're going to get Office Pro Plus. Definitely on the desktop.
So this still includes the desktop software, depending on the package. It's just
exactly.
Instead of buying it for $650 OEM with your machine, you're paying for it monthly.
Yep. Spread it out over time.
Okay.
So say I'm a small business or a large business or a family, as you've mentioned. Why should I care? What is it about this that should appeal to me over the traditional method maybe of doing the same stuff?
Well, I think when just talking about money for a second, the key thing is it spreads it out over time. So basically, it's a monthly subscription. So it's going to be a lot cheaper from month to month. And it's going to give you not just email, but calendars. You know, you're going to get the richness of Exchange for a small business. And you're going to get the richness of a Link and full-on SharePoint. So and not just WSS, you know, not just SharePoint Foundation, but a lot more of the service applications and a lot more of the richer functionality of what SharePoint can give you.
What options are available on the unified communications front, say to a small business that might otherwise not look at deploying, you know, the individual components internally, but might go to this service offering? What are the benefits?
Some of these things are yet to be revealed, and I do need to be careful about some of the NDA stuff. First thing I'm going to do is point you to office365.microsoft.com, where hey, you can sign up for the beta. The beta is a public beta now. There's a place where, you know, that basically the first kind of wave of information is out there now. There's even places on MSDN where you can get information for developers and get more of what these features are. What you don't get right now is the pricing. From what I can see, that pricing isn't necessarily fully public yet and what all these packages are. But you can see what products are here. You can kind of get a view of why you want to use the cloud and all this good all this goodness. But just take Exchange, for example. In Exchange, you're going to get email, but also calendaring. You're going to get, you know, geo-replicated or geo-redundant Exchange servers.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get large mailboxes. I think it's huge. 25 gigabyte mailboxes on Exchange.
Yeah, they are. They're a big mailbox.
Guaranteed 99.9% uptime. Support for BlackBerry, Android, Windows Phone, iPhone, Nokia. So PCs and Macs, pretty rich in terms of what you, probably the richest of what you can even get in terms of an email server behind behind getting that. How many companies today, you know, a gig was a huge stretch for them, and here Microsoft's coming out with 25 gig mailbox.
Actually, I found under the under about Office 365, there's a pricing and plans document.
Oh, good.
It's a Word doc, and the small business offering. Up to 50 users, $6 US a head. And that's Office WebEx, Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
25 gig mailbox, attachments up to 25 megabytes, like, and 99.9%. So exactly what you were saying, Joel, but it's $6 a head.
Boy, yeah, that's the starter. But and they move up,
yeah.
And they get richer and richer. The higher up you go.
So in the enterprise class, existing BPOS customers move to $10 US a month. And and then the with the full desktop software is $24 a month.
Yeah. That's where you see that jump is like, are you using Office Web Apps? And even with Office Web Apps, there's actually a couple levels. There's a read only and there's a read write. So you're kind of moving up the stack.
Well, and I'm just thinking in terms of how I would do this myself, right? As a geek. So, and especially we're talking in the small business context. Small business server license standard is about $800 plus CALs, and so that gives you Exchange and SharePoint. You still have to buy Office if you want to get all the way to this desktop, the $24 a month solution. Like the $24 a month solution when Office Pro Plus is in the $600 range. Like, it's pretty tough to touch that.
Yeah.
It's 2-3 years just to go even with your initial licensing prices. It's a whole lot. I know it's perfectly a different ballgame when we get to large scale. As soon as I'm talking 1,000 seats, you know, the numbers are very different. We get volume license agreements and things like that. But from a small business perspective, this is pretty darn compelling.
Yeah, really that small, medium business. Mm-hmm. And most of the world, it's like, wow, this just makes a lot of sense when you start running the numbers for sure.
Yeah, you can see where like a sole proprietorship with just a few people working or one person even working could probably really take advantage of that and tap into something that otherwise is in the past has been pretty much commercially unavailable.
And I mean, you don't work for Microsoft, so I don't know if you could answer some of these questions, but could I mix and match, have a few guys with the Office license, the full Office license, and everybody else on the web kind of thing?
I think you're actually going to find that, that one department decides to do this thing, and they're going to do it like this. Another part of the company is doing it, you know, obviously, if you're doing it that way, you're probably dealing with different people. That's where I would, you know, stop and say, I'm not sure
right.
how you're going to package it all up, and we want some of these, and some of these, and some of these. I do expect that to be a lot of, hey, we've got some kiosk users, and they share a PC, and they're even going to kind of say, hey, for the people who share a PC, license them like this, and people who need the desktop, license them like this. So definitely expect to see these kind of as bundle it up and then come up with what makes sense for your business.
Anything specific around smartphone support as well?
Yeah, I was mentioning some of that around with the Exchange offering. But even in SharePoint, you start talking about smartphones and being able to integrate. There's even support. You call up support now on BPOS, and there's somebody that really knows BlackBerry and can help you work through it.
Isn't that interesting that the you know, the other phones too? It's not like everyone has to have a Win Phone 7.
Yeah. In fact, I was talking to a support guy. I don't know how much of this is sensitive, but he's like, yeah, we got an iPhone. He's like, oh, really? I was like, did they give you iPhones? And he's like, no, we share one. It's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But you can't argue with their popularity, right? Like, there's a lot of phones out there. You should support them.
Yeah, yeah. Android, in fact, it explicitly says that right here. PC, Mac, Windows Phone, iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry.
There you go. That's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, Windows Phone 7 isn't on the list, or just says Windows Phone. So.
It says Windows Phone, which, okay. You know, you got to give it that, yeah.
The different versions, yeah.
Exactly. They're backward compatible. They're okay with their legacy stuff.
I mean, this is pricing that's competitive in this space for simply a managed exchange solution of any kind. And I'm not just thinking about Microsoft's offering, but third-party offerings mm-hmm. tend to run in this $6 to $10 per seat for exchange support.
Yeah, and I think where this starts to get compelling as well is this isn't just, hey, I need 5 or I need 10. You're even saying, hey, here's 100 email addresses. Mm-hmm. A larger organization can say, hey, this is my Active Directory and we want to set up some claims. We can use existing identity. That's where it starts to really get exciting, even in this Office 365 space.
Really? So if I have larger organization, existing Active Directory infrastructure, I'm able to share that with Office 365 in some way?
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is where it starts to get interesting. You know, I haven't done that, but you're talking about larger businesses with existing Active Directory and being able mm-hmm. to not have to duplicate all that data.
Because, I mean, what we're backing up into here is how do I manage this with an organization with a few hundred users?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it comes down to its claims, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the smaller businesses, it's not a big deal because they're not running those servers, or they were running those servers and they can shut them down. You know, right. They don't need to be running their own email and their own little presence and all that stuff. And even SharePoint is, in fact, that's the one I obviously focus on. What's interesting here is you start talking about what SharePoint can be here.
Right.
And mm-hmm. a lot of people in the past, in 2007, you know, even before BPOS became very popular, people would have to bring up their own servers. And then it's like, well, we need to get better uptime than just 99%. Mm-hmm. So we add another server. Mm-hmm. And the licensing then jumps up even higher. And, you know, each server they're adding on is huge, their bottom line. And so being able to say, I get all this SharePoint functionality with geo-redundant and 99% uptime and these real key benefits. And now what's interesting and new on the SharePoint side of things,
mm-hmm.
we start talking about extranets. We start talking about internet sites. Now, before you get too excited about extranets, what we're talking about is you can add people outside of your organization and share files with them.
Okay.
So on SharePoint.
With limited capabilities, like I could actually specify, I only want, it only has access to these folders, you could read these, but write those, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah. And basically, you're adding them via email and using Live ID to authenticate. I mean, that's the stuff that really is looking pretty good.
Right, yeah.
Now, as a guy who was involved in the very, 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 very first version of SharePoint in the pre-beta phases and beta phases, we launched, so here's a little history, we launched an extranet on the original version of SharePoint back in 2001, and it was painful, but it's become marginally with each version more capable as time has gone on. This is a real big step in the maturity process, isn't it, in terms of making things more accessible to people across organizational boundaries?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of this comes down to some of these tenant features that that weren't there before Microsoft started looking at the cloud and started looking at hosting it mm-hmm. themselves, where it was like, well, how can we scale this thing to really support not just tons of data, but actually different companies but still mm-hmm. have retained security. And then those companies say, you know what, I want to add somebody external to this little space. And the extranet, that was, you know, it's always been really tough.
So if I'm an organization that has, maybe I have some of these services in-house right now, or maybe I have some of these services externally, but I'm interested in thinking about, all right, how can I take advantage of this of this 365 offering. So from a federation, you've mentioned some that what sounds like it basically goes to the concept of federation. So, you know, I have an existing Active Directory. I'm going to do some integration. What are you able to talk about? What does it take to do that? What are the things I need to think about?
Yeah, I think that's the part they haven't really gotten into so much yet. Let me actually read a couple things off of this fact sheet. Comprehensive solutions, including desktop productivity, applications, portals, extranets, external website. So we are even talking about small business type of internet site on SharePoint. Instant messaging, video voice conferencing, web conferencing, email, voicemail, and unified messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting here in terms of what an IT organization is trying to provide, that really is almost like a checklist of this is what IT needs to provide in an organization.
Right.
Right. Yeah. The core stuff plus some extras.
Yeah. Sure. Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, just getting away from owning the servers and just providing the services.
Yeah.
And same paying for it that way too.
I'll tell you, I pay $6 or more a month for an exchange, hosted exchange service that I use. And, you know, as this is becoming more and more, as we're getting more and more advanced in the services that are available, I mean, if for $6 or so a month, I can add on all those other services, then, you know, that's pretty interesting.
Now this is what's interesting is, you know, we talk about small business. Let me show you some of the positioning here. Everyone from sole proprietors to small, mid-size, and large businesses, and from government agencies to educational institutions, and they're focused on saving time, money, and freeing up valuable resources. Now, I think there's a lot to talk about in just that little piece, but you know, you're talking about, well, it's going to take a lot to set some of this stuff up for larger organizations. This is actually going to open up a huge, I think, market for consulting.
Sure.
You know, the small guy who can just say, hey, here's the five accounts I need, that's not what the ones that are going to create a huge boom. It's going to be the customers or companies who have the 100 to 10,000, that kind of morgue and lorg kind of space where it's these larger organizations but not huge enterprises that, you know, that are going to take dedicated Microsoft resources to help them. It's the ones where it's, hey, I've got 100,000 people and I need somebody to help me with my new internet site that Microsoft's going to be hosting for me, and I need somebody to help me with my extranet space and help me understand security, and I need some to migrate. I mean, migration's huge, right?
Yeah.
Migrating all this on-premises data so we can shut down these servers so we can move into this month-by-month pricing for hosting SharePoint and Exchange and on and on and on.
Yeah, I think I'd be most nervous about trying to migrate SharePoint off my servers onto theirs.
What's interesting, though, is Microsoft has spent a lot of time on this particular area. A lot of this partner community, not only Quest, who I work for, but also some of our competitors, I look around the room in some of these TAP, and I see them there. You know, Microsoft has done a really good job of early on bringing in the partners and saying, hey, we need good, solid migration tools to move from Exchange and to move from SharePoint into this online Office 365.
There are some businesses. There are some businesses where a move to the cloud, I think for a vast majority of businesses, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. I know there are some cases where, you know, if you need to be able to take a third party custom product that has to integrate directly to Exchange or to SharePoint, for example, this isn't something you're going to be able to take advantage of. It's not like you have a data center where you can install your own third party software, right?
Right. Yeah, I think this is a new ecosystem, and this new ecosystem has its own set of tools, its own set of consultants. You're going to start seeing people say Office 365 consultant. You're going to see people say Office 365 partner. And it's going to be people who are specialized in really being able to quickly articulate, this is what's going to happen to your data when we move it across. Here's the tools we're going to use. Here's the pricing to just get the data moved. And it's got to fit in some of these buckets of it still makes sense to touch this data to get the data in there.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in the future with, you know, where does Microsoft go in terms of providing interfaces so that third parties, if a third party develops a tool that I do want to use but needs to be able to interact with SharePoint or Exchange or Link Server, what have you, that that they'll open up that opportunity. You know, one of the because one of the there's a trade off. I think, you know, that one of the reasons they can provide $6 a month services per user is because they do. You have a standard offering, and it's sort of ubiquitous, and it's a you get what you get, right?
Sure. So, now let me tell you a little bit of what's changed there. In 2007 in BPOS, sure, no assemblies on the server. Well, let's move into the 2010 world in Office 365. Now we have sandbox solutions. We got Silverlight web parts. You combine the power of what you can do with a sandbox solution with WCF inside of a lot of what you can do with Silverlight and being able to package it up and deploy those assemblies to your site collection and have it be able to work across those sites. There's now a deployment framework, essentially, that ability to get some of that custom code to work with web services. But also, on the Microsoft side, they've got controls of saying, hey, these are the rules. Here's how much CPU you get. Here's how much resources, essentially. Right. And SharePoint 2010 provides you that those sandbox type of capabilities.
So is this part of the SharePoint Online offering in 365?
It's both. It's like... The framework and all the sandbox solution stuff is in the box in SharePoint 2010. And what they've done is it's turned off by default in SharePoint 2010. Essentially, Office 365 turns these things on. They set very specific limits and allow developers, and even with basically training kits and SDKs for Office 365, to say, hey, go for it. Developers, you don't have to just stop at what you can do with SharePoint Designer. Now you can actually use Visual Studio with SharePoint.
Yeah, so Studio 2010 really has a good set of SharePoint features now.
Exactly.
And interesting enough, my next question was, so in the SharePoint offering, can we still build our custom apps? And it sounds like you're saying yes with certain constraints.
Yeah, basically it's cloud constraints. You know, it's SharePoint. No, you don't have access to the server. This is tenant.
Right.
But your tenant, but you've also got these sandbox solutions that allow you to access the client object model, and there are web services that you can continue to access to work with SharePoint.
And if you need more sophisticated storage, there's always SQL Azure out there.
Exactly.
So it's not that there isn't cloud offerings for all of this, just that you might be bridging between Office 365 and Azure. Just out of curiosity, do you know, is this running on Azure, these services?
I don't know that.
Okay.
But like you mentioned, Azure, Silverlight, sandbox solutions, web services, WCF, all this stuff is ultimately going to take a very specialized set of developers and specialized consultants that understand, here's what we can do. And here's how we think outside the box of, an on-premise developer is going to think a certain way, but then a cloud developer is going to think a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be able to come up with those ideas and solutions.
Are there any opportunities available? Say, what if I wanted to do, SharePoint and Link Server and stuff in the cloud, but I want to keep Exchange in-house? Is there a model for that? Do you know?
Yeah. I mean, none of these are forced. But I think what you'll find on the packaging, and really this fact sheet is kind of just a nice overview sampling. It's what makes sense to you. You know, you're not going to be forced to move your mail if you don't want to, and I don't know how that changes pricing. You know, I'm not an expert on the licensing.
I guess my question was more around feature functionality. If I want to get the full unified communications, is there a method for doing that, or to get the full UC, footprint, if you will, does the whole footprint have to be, in the Office 365 environment?
That's a good question. I think that what you'll find is that there is SharePoint Online, there is Exchange Online, and being able to, the pricing you're seeing here is basically Office 365 pricing. It's not SharePoint Online pricing, Exchange Online pricing. This is package bundles, basically, that you're looking at.
Right. Gotcha.
We've talked a fair bit about the SharePoint side, and the Office side is apparent. Exchange, pretty good. Maybe we need to dig into Link some more, because I don't think that as many people understand what Link is and really what the online offering looks like. Is this a replacement for MSM Messenger?
For business-to-business communication, definitely. This is not necessarily MSN Messenger, more of like the messenger you'd be using on your client in your company.
Mm-hmm.
like communicator?
Yeah, it's communicator, right? It's cloud-based instant messaging. It's the link client. You know, it's presence. It's also online meetings. So basically that live meeting infrastructure, screen sharing, mm-hmm. and voice and video conferencing.
Okay. And it's just specifically with people in your organization. It doesn't go out to the world?
Now, it's whoever is in your group, basically. Okay. It's whoever is in your tenant. So if you are trying to do extranet and, hey, it's a couple of companies working together and the way they're combined is through Office 365, now you can see, wow, that can be pretty powerful, that ability to use Link to share this online presence and meeting experience and so on. Now, I think Link itself does have meet now and send them the link type of capabilities. So don't get me wrong on some of that. It is probably some of the instant messaging that is more of, well, who is in here? You know, who is part of my group and what is federated?
Right.
You know? And I don't know what kind mm-hmm. of flexibility you have there in terms of adding additional or federating from your link. I definitely haven't been there.
The line between instant message, email, and telephone is very blurry when you start playing with this technology.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely the exciting part is both your voicemail and what you kind of get to the voicemail being sent into your email and right in your Outlook being able to make a phone call and some of these type of capabilities. This is when you're moving up on the stack, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how is your telephony integrated and some of that kind of stuff?
And if you notice, fax has just fallen by the wayside. I don't use it anymore. I print things, I sign them, I scan them, I email them back.
Yeah, is the fax dead? For some reason, we can't get rid of it.
No, because otherwise, where would somebody send me all the junk faxes?
Well, you can even, I've even seen, you know, those inbound faxing where you just give them a number and that number is, it's a service in the cloud that basically sends you an email or sends you or you know, something to that effect.
Yeah, it's about, I think it's just about done.
I'm forced to use that on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's documents are just part and parcel of the stuff you can do with Link. So it makes you wonder what the heck we're using faxes for at all.
Yeah.
Well, Joel, any other key bits, pieces that people need to know about?
I think the key... There was one little key thing that I think is important for us to understand and to talk about, because I don't think people talk about it enough, and that's the helping them save time, money, and free up valued resources.
Right.
That last little piece there, I haven't seen enough people freak out, and I'm not saying, hey, you need to go find another job, but if you're tooling and you're trying to make sure that you are a valued resources, not the ones that's getting freed up, but I think SharePoint IT administrators, especially those in small businesses, they need to be looking at Office 365 really hard, because that could be the thing that comes in and IT manager says, hey, it just makes too much sense. And then they're going to say, so, and when they come to shake your hand, they say, hey, see you later. You're able to say, hey, guess what, guys? I'm certified as a partner of Office 365,
right,
or I'm a consultant, and why don't you hire me back to help you guys migrate your data and to, whether, you know, to do your development or to, are they looking at joining up with some consultancy? How are they looking at moving up the scale on their career?
Are they getting
closer to the business and doing business type of, hey, we need to start looking at how we can translate business requirements into apps on SharePoint or help you migrate your Exchange data. But when it's done, then what? And the then what part of it is, are you moving closer to the business or where are you moving? Because you better be providing value add wherever you are.
Well, and I don't think that we're really talking about losing many jobs here. The fact that you're no longer focused on backing up SharePoint, there's still a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah, I think you just got to move up on that stack.
Sure. Be aware of the other roles. Like you want to give up backup so that you can focus on some things that are providing even more value to the business.
Yes. If you've been focused only on backups and you've only been focused on what's in central admin, your world is going to change drastically.
Sure.
That's where it's like, how much time have you spent inside of sites and how much time have you spent understanding the real needs of the business. You better go make some friends.
And start focusing on a wider field. Joel Olson, great to talk to you as always.
Hey, good times. Thanks a lot, guys.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.